Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. Have me brought your Bible with you this morning. That book is what can change your life. I can't do it, but that book can. If I tell you what's in the book, then by avenue of telling you what's in the book, I can do it as well, because we'll see things change in our life as we give ourselves to the teachings of the book. So let's believe the Lord today. I'm glad you're in the house today. You are honoring the Lord today to hear the word of the Lord. You're honoring the Lord, and God's going to honor you for sure, because you have put a high priority of the word of God in your life. God bless you. Let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Turn in your Bible to the text that I've got here from Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, and we'll sort of begin that direction here. And Luke 6 verse 45, in the New King James Version I have on the wall there, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. From the overflow of his heart, his mouth will speak. Notice, the good man has a good treasure on the inside. That's what makes him a good man. He's got a good treasure within him. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Word of God that resides in the good man. And he brings forth good things. If you don't like good things, you can have evil things. And the way you get that is you have an evil heart, evil intention, evil word in your heart of hearts, and you'll bring forth evil things. This is a principle that works regardless of whether you know it, whether you believe it, whether you accept it, whether you apply it, whether you don't. You are applying it already, and it is working in your life right now. You are exactly today, based on what you have said, thought, and did yesterday, that's brought you to this point in your life today. And so we begin looking at this and looking and seeing those, the power of words, because at the end of that verse, it tells us of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks of what it is filled with inside of the heart. In other words, you can take some nice saying, you can some nice quote, and there may be a lot of wisdom to it, might be a lot of reality to it, might a lot of truth to it, but it's not going to become effectual in your life until you fill yourself with it. This thing about Christianity, it is not just a Sunday morning deal. If all you get from God is what you get on Sunday morning, and you leave today and you let the world talk to you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you let the world talk to you all that time, whether it's on radio or MP3 or downloads or podcasts or television or people or different news outlets, if all that talks to you and feeds you throughout the next 5-6 days before you come back on a Sunday, it's going to be very difficult for a little, 2-hour and 15-minute service here on Sunday morning to break all that out of your life. Because you've got an abundance of other things. And you're going to be living by that abundance of other things in your life. It's going to be there. That's what's going to consume you. And that's what your life is going to be like. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. If you want the things of God, they're easy to get. They're not hard. But if you want the things of God, the blessings of God, God's greatness and goodness in your life, you have to apply yourself and you have to give yourself unto discipleship and of following Jesus. Jesus, the last thing he told in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he told his disciples, he said, go and make disciples. You disciples, go make more disciples. Make them. And that's what we are to be, a learner, a follower, one who has given himself to the things of God. We are to make disciples, and you and I are to be those disciples. And so we see that in the scriptures. We see in Luke chapter 6 and then verse 45, it's the abundance that what we're filled up is going to happen. We took that for our text. We begin to look at it and apply it and say, well, is that what God does? And we saw in Genesis chapter 1, where the scripture boldly and clearly tells us that God Almighty, when he created this world, and in that restoration on those 6 days that he did, he said again and again, God said, let there be, God said, let there be, God said, let there be, 6 times, God said, let there be, and every time something happened when God spoke. And so what we clearly saw was that God himself uses words to create things. He uses words. Somebody say, God uses words to create. I mean, we can see it all again and again in Scripture. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that it tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God in verse 3. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 that everything is being held together by the word of his power. And over again, we recognize and we see that in the beginning was the word was God. So we see the beginning of all things starts with the Word. And what's happening in your life has started with the Word. Where you're at right now has started with the Word. Good or bad, it has started with the Word. So we saw that about God. We saw Jesus works the same way. When he was known for the authority that was in his Word, the Scripture tells us. The Bible tells us that men would come unto him and ask for healing and said, you don't have to come lay hands on me. Just speak the Word only. All you have to do is speak the Word. Because we know, Jesus, that when you speak a word, things happen. And Jesus continually spoke words throughout all of his 3.5 years here on planet Earth, doing the things that God had given him to do. We looked in the new believers. We saw Peter. We saw the Apostle Paul again and again speaking words. Words were coming out their mouth that they were speaking, and that's how things were happening on planet Earth. That's how things were happening in the New Testament church. They were speaking words. We looked at our lives. We saw in Scripture that you and I are made in God's image in Genesis chapter 1. And it tells us that being made in God's image, as we are, we have dominion. We have authority on the earth. How do you exercise it? How do you do it? You do it with the power of words. It's no different. We do the same thing with words. In fact, you can look at a lot of events in your life, and you did them by the power of words in your life. Has anybody ever, bought a home? Raise your hand at me if you ever bought a home. And what did you do? You filled out a contract. What was on the contract? A lot of words. And what did you do? You said, I agree with these words to buy this home at a certain price, at a certain interest rate, whatever it might have been. Or maybe you paid cash for it, and that's all right too. But either way, you still have words that did that. Some folks, when they buy automobiles, we really shouldn't do this, but when you buy automobiles, they do the same thing. They borrow money, and they have a contract that they're going to pay for that automobile with words. They do that. When we got married, what did you do? You said, I what? Somebody tell me? We said, I do. What was that? Those were words. And so we use them all the time. We use words all the time. Why is it that when people get into the things of God and get into the heart's cry of the Lord in the Scripture that he teaches all this, why is it that we tend to rebel against it and say, well, you just can't be like that. God's God. He can do what he wants to do. He's sovereign. He's going to do if he wants to. If he doesn't want to do, he's not going to. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way whatsoever. Your words are setting the chart and the destiny of your life. In the book of James chapter 3, we saw that horses, we put bits and bridles in their mouth, and it turns them the way that we want them to go. We saw that James said, even so, the tongue, our words, direct and guide our body in this life to the way we're going to go. And so it's not the only thing. There's more to it than just words. And we'll get into some of that a little bit later on. A lot more to it than just words. But it definitely starts with words. And if you don't have the words, all the rest is really not going to do what you want it to do. The rest is not going to bring to pass what you want it to bring to pass without the words themselves. And so words are very, very, very important. And we've been looking at that, studying that, and finally, we're getting this place about what Jesus taught us about words. So turn with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. If you want to know anybody that teaches about words strongly, it's Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know of anyone else in the whole Bible that emphasizes words more than what Jesus does. He even talked about people having great faith. When the man said to him, speak a word only, he said, well, that's the greatest kind of faith. I hadn't found this kind of faith even in the children of Abraham. And so Christ ministered about words and told us the power of words that we are to speak in the lives of ourselves and the lives of others that are around us. So look at Mark chapter 11, verse 12. As Jesus, during the last week of his ministry, Mark 11, verse 12, they come from Bethany, and he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. In other words, with the leaves that it had on it, it was producing that, you know, I got some fruit here. And that's what it was saying. And when he came to it, the fig tree, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. There were no fig trees on it, no figs on the fig tree at all. And so he comes to it, and it said it's producing something, but it's not. He gets there, he finds nothing but leaves. And so here's what he does. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it. Somebody tell me, who is Jesus talking to? Talking to trees, isn't he? Talking to trees. And there are things in our life that you and I need to speak to and talk to as well. I mean, there's a lot of things you can talk to. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I talked to my wallet, told it what kind of money I saw in it, talked to my checking account, told it what kind of money I saw in it, talked to my savings, talked to my investments. I tell them what I see there, and I talk to them, talk to our bodies. Health issues, speak to your extremities, your arms, your legs, mind, eyes, ears, whatever. Speak to your body, tell it. It's all right to speak to yourself. It's all right to talk to yourself. It's all right to talk to things that are around you. Jesus did it. In fact, you say, well, you got another answer? Sure. When Jesus saw the storm, he rebuked the storm. Spoke to a storm. Spoke to the wind and the waves. And they ceased and they became quiet. So Jesus is known for talking to things. Now he's talking to a fig tree. He said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. In other words, that's called a curse. He cursed the life out of that fig tree. You know the story of how a fig tree, you know, produces, right? You can see the figs on it when the time for figs comes, if they're not lying like this one was. When the time for figs come, they're there, but they came off of the tree, and the tree came because of a certain season, and a certain season because the sap was up in the tree and come down out of the earth and back into the tree, and it produced. It produced this fruit. And so when Jesus says that he curses it, no man eat fruit of you, he didn't talk about to the leaves. He didn't talk it to the limbs, if you were, or the root of that. He spoke it unto the life of that tree. And if you'd have been there, you would have seen one thing happen. With your eyes, you would have seen absolutely nothing other than Jesus talking to a tree. And maybe a couple of disciples turned around and said, has he lost his mind now? Or something. Because you wouldn't have saw a change. There was no change in that tree at that moment. It didn't place them. All that we know that happened was the disciples heard it. It didn't say they saw the fig tree wither and die away right then. It just said they heard what Jesus said to the fig tree when he said, no man will ever eat fruit from you hereafter ever again. That's what they heard, but they didn't see anything. And what happens sometimes, how many wants to be like Jesus? Somebody say amen. But what happens, Christians will say, Christians will say something according to the word of God, and they'll give it about 2.5 minutes, and if they don't see it in 2.5 minutes, they give up on what they said. But here, and said, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Well, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. He had said something, but he did not see the results of it or experience the results of it at all at the time that he saw it. Notice, he says something, it's there. He doesn't see anything that's going on differently in this tree. All right, now, going down with me. Look at verse 20. They're going in and out of Jerusalem. This is the last week before Passover. They're going in and out of Jerusalem on one of their trips in the morning. Mark 11, verse 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. Now, here's what they see, something different now. In the morning, they see it dried up. Notice, they see the fig tree dried up from the roots. It didn't start out where the end of the extremities of the fig tree were, but from the roots, from the heart of it, it dried up from within, and then they're seeing it that's dead. In other words, it took a day for this fig tree that had life in it, that once the life was cursed, it took a day for the exterior of that fig tree to show forth its death. And sometimes, you know, in life, it may take just a little while. When you're speaking the word of God to your circumstance, your situation, it may take just a little while before you see anything different. I mean, I can think of a lot of things in life that are like that. When I've spoken to my body, if I had pain in my body and begin to speak to my body, you know, very seldom does just instantly the pain leaves on the first speaking to my body. I mean, at the first time that I spoke to my debt and said, I don't borrow money anymore, I was still in debt, $132,000. It took a while for that to manifest in my life. When I said that I see, you know, money in my checking account, savings, investments, all this, when I said that, at the time I said that, all I saw was red. I saw the negatives. It took a while for it to manifest. It's like that in the things of the kingdom of God. Just because you say it does not mean it's instantaneously going to happen in that speck of time that you just spoke it. Sometimes things take time for it to manifest. Now, the work began. The life of the tree died when Jesus cursed it, but it didn't show up. It didn't manifest. You couldn't tell it from the exterior until the next day. And so, the next day, verse 21, Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, behold, or look at the fig tree. Look at it. Jesus doesn't need to look at it. Because he's God? No. Because he knows he cursed the life out the day before. And whether it's the next hour, next day or two, it's going to die. Because he spoke the word to it. Notice, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. The results come a day after that Jesus speaks to this fig tree. How many times have Christians given up on that thing that God had promised them and wanted them to have because they didn't get it instantaneously? And they thought at the flip, a switch of a button, you know, a flip of a switch, that they were supposed to just instantly get whatever it was that they had been believing God for or had spoken out, and they did not see it happen instantly, and they gave up and they quit. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think in my mind as I'm just sort of pondering right now of the instantaneous things that have happened in my life. Well, you know, my eyes were healed instantaneously in 1980 on February 4th and the 2nd. That was an instantaneous thing. But I can think of a lot of things after that were not instantaneous at all, particularly those things that are outside of your body. Outside of your body. When you're dealing with external circumstances that you may have spent a lifetime, you know, building up negative problems in your life, one word is not going to change that instantaneously. I mean, you know what, if you've been, you know, like Sheila and I, if you were being getting in debt from the time we were married, first thing we did, rushed out and got in debt against Sheila's better advice. It was all on me. I felt we needed a credit score. But anyway, and so we went out immediately and borrowed money on a sewing machine that she had. Today, I don't know why, but she no longer sews. I mean, she just stayed, no more sewing for her, she says. But anyway, we went out and that established our credit rating. And so we started then in 1973, December of that year. And we started then in debt, and we just kept on getting in debt over and over and over again. And so we went through the early 70s in debt. We went through all of the 70s in debt. We went through the 80s and still were in debt. When we started the church here, I had about $4,000 worth of music equipment in 1982 that we owed money on, that we were in debt for. And when we started the church, that's how we had our music. We went into debt for it. So we did debt then, and we did debt in the 90s. We did debt. We did debt when we renovated our home three or four times that we're into right now. We did debt all that time. Every time we bought a car, we went in debt. When, like I say, borrowed money on the mortgage, we went in debt. We bought a refrigerator, we went in debt. We bought, you know, couch and chair, we went in debt. We got a credit card and bought clothes and went in debt. We went on vacation and went in debt. Went to see Mickey Mouse and went in debt in Orlando, Florida. So everything we did, we went in debt for it. Year after year after year, decade after decade. until 2008, and Dave Ramsey talked me out of quitting, stopping doing that. I knew what the word said all along. I knew the word. But it was Dave Ramsey that encouraged me or badmouthed me to the point that I decided to do something about it. And then I began to say, I'll never borrow another dime the rest of my life. I told Sheila, I said, we will go hungry, we will starve to death, we will lose our home, we will lose everything, but we ain't borrowing another dime. Never. And none of those things happen. To the contrary, the opposite of all those things happen. But it didn't start happening. That's 2008. And so we go through this big downturn in 2008 of the economy nationwide, and it hit us hard. And our son starts a college. That hit us again, $40,000 a year to pay for that, and I can't go in debt for it. I got to pay it in cash. And that was there. Other things happened, this, that, and the other, just continually. And so it took us several years to, after we made the decision to be out of debt. It took several years for that to happen. It didn't happen. But see, I had been in debt 30 years of my life. 30 years. Why is it that we think sometimes we'll have a 30-year problem and instantaneously I'll speak it. If I don't get it in 2 seconds, I'm done with this. And that's what we'll do sometimes. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. It took Jesus one day, you can see that, for the manifestation to come. It took the Lord God Almighty 6 days in the creation of heaven and earth, right? And you want it in 13 seconds. Somebody say amen. Come on. You got to understand that God works in this system we are in. And he works in this place on this planet earth where we are at. And he works in us according to the principles that he's laid out in the word of God. Okay. So what happens, they come back and they see this. To them, it's incredible because he did not pour out any, you know, poison on the bottom of the tree to kill it. He didn't take a little chainsaw and cut it at the bottom and cut it off and knock it down. He didn't strike it by lightning like at our house yesterday. I guess a lightning storm came up about 8 o'clock last night at our house. And we heard something out front go, thump, pow! And it hit one of the biggest pine trees on our property. Out in front, it's not down yet, but it hit it, and it struck it all the way down. It blowed, you know, different pieces of bark all around the place, everywhere. I mean, it just hit it, and it, moment of time, there it was. So we'll have to get that tree cut down, and we'll get rid of that. But you know, the thing is this, is everything doesn't happen in a moment of time in our lives when we live in this world. And what we need to realize is this, that when we begin to speak it, things begin to happen. But if you never speak it, nothing doesn't begin to happen. You got to start that because that's the way it works. Okay, look at Mark 11, verse 22. They see this incredible miracle. They're moved by it. They are astonished. Peter, the loudmouth of the group, Peter brings it to his attention. Behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. That which you cursed is withered away. Notice this too. It would never have withered away if he hadn't cursed it. He couldn't have cursed it unless he used words. Sometimes we got stuff going on in our life and you haven't spoken anything against it. You need to start speaking against those things that God speaks against in your own life. Notice verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Or another translation that says in the margin of some Bibles, doesn't it? Does my Bible here? And it tells us there to have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have the kind of faith that God has. That's what we're having. Use faith like God would use faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me, 1 Peter chapter 1. What you have to understand is this. You do have faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about that. Peter is writing to some people that they have faith. Somebody say, I have faith. Somebody say, I have faith. Say this, I have all the faith I need. You do. You have all the faith that you need. Because the faith that you need is the faith that you use. And as you begin to use your faith, it will increase, but it's not increased until you use it. And so you have enough faith right now to use the faith that you have in the circumstance. Now notice 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification, the Spirit, and obedience of sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. And those are great verses. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, right? They're very good verses. They'd be even better if you were in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. over about three pages. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2 or 3, swipe. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, and them have obtained like precious faith. Who is Peter writing to? He's writing to people that have done what? Obtained like precious faith. This book is being written to those people that have obtained like precious faith. So don't look into the Bible and say, well, that was Jesus. Don't look at the Bible and say, well, that was Peter or that was Paul. No, you and I are reading it, and Peter is writing to a group of believers who have obtained like precious faith. People have faith like what he has. Now notice it, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that all of us have been given a measure of faith. I have faith. You have faith. If you're born again, you have faith. How many believes in Jesus? Somebody say amen. Amen. You said you believe. That's faith. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you acted on what you believe, and that is a faith that you have in your life. It is working for you in the area of salvation. You already have faith. We've got faith. No question about it. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you bring multiplication to all the things of God? Through the knowledge of God. You're having things multiplied to you right now this morning. As I'm speaking the word of God, things are increasing in your life. There's multiplication taking place in your life. You're growing stronger in the Lord. You're walking more in his favor, more in his blessing, more in his understanding, more in his knowledge. If you weren't here this morning, you were somewhere else doing something else, this wouldn't be happening for you. But you're growing and you're increasing. How many can say hallelujah? That's what you're doing this morning. It's happening to you. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Notice that. His divine power hath, past tense, God's power has already given unto us. It's already there. Given to us all things, talks about here, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us in glory and virtue. In other words, I already have everything I need that pertains unto life and godliness. What do you need? Well, what pertains unto godliness? Well, my walk with the Lord, of course. I want to be close to the Lord. Well, I've got everything I need to do that with. The Bible says in the book of James, if I'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, it tells me what to do. And so I've got everything I need to walk a godly life. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came to my heart and my life. The Holy Spirit applied the blood of Jesus to our hearts, your hearts, my hearts, being born again, washed us, purged us from our sin, and gave us this life that cries, Abba, Father, as Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says. We cry out, he, and we're in relationship with God Almighty now. He is our Father. We are his children. We got that through what he has done. He's already given me that. But notice, he's also given me everything that pertains into life. What pertains into life? Well, start out with some basics. The air that you breathe, right? You're not going to be alive without breathing air. Next thing I need is some water. How many's got air? Somebody say amen. How many's got water? Somebody say, we got air, we got water. Well, I'm going to need some food after that. How about you? We're going to need some food, right? Going to have something to eat. Preachers call it sustenance for the body. We're not going to, you know, eat a whole lot. We just need a little sustenance. Well, sometimes it looks like we've been having more than a little. But anyway, sustenance for the body. We got to have food for the body, right? And we do have. How many got food on your table at home? You got food? We got food on our table. We got food on our table at home. We look at food sometimes, and it just breaks my heart sometimes to throw away an old banana or an old apple or something like that. And Sheila just don't like doing it either, so she'll get that old, you know, banana that looked like it's seen its last days 2 weeks ago, and she'll freeze it and says, AJ eats these. But anyway, but she'll freeze them and said, you can do other things with them. I don't know. Once it's done turning black and all that, I don't want no banana like that. I don't want no mushy banana. I don't know, not at all. But, you know, so I got so much food, I have to discard it. Ain't that a shame, really? I mean, we shouldn't be throwing away food. I always felt like we shouldn't throw away food. But anyway, we do. We got more food than we know what to do with here in America. Got more things than we know. And God's, all this is life. And so what about the things we don't have as part of our life? God's already given me that. Everything I need for life, I got it. So I need money right now in my life because July, you know, how many things the power bill in July might be a little higher. Somebody say amen. So you need some money to pay that power bill with, don't you? You do. You got to have some money to pay that power. In fact, this time you're going to need lots of money to pay that power bill. You need some gas for your car. You need a car. You need to keep that thing tuned up. You just need a lot of things. And God says he's already given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Now notice how through the knowledge of him. And so how you learn to operate in Christ Jesus, when you learn to do that, you're going to see these things provided in your life. Verse 4, whereby are given to us, in other words, connected, whereby are given us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these, notice it, that by these precious promises you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. In other words, you got faith. Here's some things to add to it. And so we've got faith. When the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11, 22, Jesus answers them, have the faith in God or have the faith of God. I've got faith. When Jesus says, Leon, have the faith of God, I say, I got it. When I say to you, have the faith of God, what do you say? You got it. We got it. Don't be running around and say, well, I could do this, that, and the other, but just had the faith and just had this and just had that, all this kind of stuff. And people just, you know, you've got it. You've got the faith of God. You have got it. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Go ahead and have it. He didn't say, I pray for you to have it. He didn't say, I deposit it. He just said, have it. It's available to you. Have the faith of God. So we have the faith of God. We have it. We have obtained like precious faith, just like the apostles talked about. So we have the faith of God. Now, look at Mark chapter 11. Here it is what Jesus said. Again, this is what Jesus said. It's not me saying it. It's not going back to Brother Hagin. I guess this would be the premier verse of his entire life, of Kenneth E. Hagin, the older one, the one that went home to be the Lord in, what, 2003, wasn't it? And it's him. And so this is his verse of scripture that really changed him and got him off of a deathbed and raised him up to health and strength. And it's Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, Jesus talking, not Brother Hagin, not Leon, not you, Jesus talking, for verily, that verily means truly, for truly I say unto you that whosoever. Now, immediately, whenever you see a whosoever in Scripture, you need to say, that's me. Jesus is now talking to me. I know. I can go back 2,000 years ago, and he had a conversation with the disciples about how the faith of God works. I know that. I recognize that. But now, since we recognize that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that the Word of God is not of any private interpretation, that is part mine as well, and so I can rely on the Word of God, and when he says whosoever, that's Leon. I read Leon right there. I don't see whosoever. I see Leon. That Leon shall say. And you should insert your name there. Whatever your name is, that your name shall say. You speak. Shall speak unto this mountain. Be thou removed. Mountain, get removed. And be cast into the sea. That's a pretty powerful, miraculous thing there. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, the thing you need to connect there is this. Remember he said, have the faith of God. Have faith like God has. Go ahead and have the faith of God. Faith is important. It's primary to this thing. It's the power that moves the universe. Have the faith of God. But what is going to cause that faith to be activated in your life? I mean, just because that you believe something, somebody say, well, let me ask you a question. If you had a job tomorrow, you don't have a job. And if you had a job tomorrow, do you believe that you could go at this certain place and work all week and they'd pay you at the end of the week? Yeah, I believe that. I believe they would. You really believe that? Yeah, I think they're an honorable company. I think they need workers. I think they pay the workers of God. I hadn't heard anybody say anything bad about them. So I believe that if I worked there, that they would, you know, I worked the rest of the week, that they'd pay me at the end of the week. I believe that they would. But you know what? That faith's not going to do you any good until you act on it. If you don't work there, you're not getting paid on Friday. Somebody say amen. You're just not. And so the faith by itself, faith alone, well, James said it. Yeah, he did, didn't he? James said it in chapter 2, verse 22 of the book of James, that faith without works is dead. Verse 17, too. Without is dead being alone. Faith is dead if it's alone. Everybody say faith is dead being alone. If faith is alone, it's dead. Does it work? It's not activated. There's things you connect to faith to make it work. The Bible says that's concerning Jesus, that the Bible tells us that even the demons believe and they tremble, but they don't do anything about it. They don't do anything about it. And of course they can in the position that they are in, but they don't. And so to believe only, to have faith only, without any corresponding actions that follow the faith, is not going to accomplish anything in your life. You'd be a great believer, but you never did anything. I mean, let me ask you a question. How many really believes that in 1969, what would that have been, 54 years ago? How many really believes 1969 that people actually got into a little capsule, left planet Earth, and went to heaven, landed there, and came back? How many believes that? Somebody say amen. Y'all don't believe that? Wow, this is a conspiracy church, Shirley. We got a bunch of conspiracies here. Anyway, you know what? But you've never done that. You haven't. Some of you might believe they did, but you haven't. But I believe they did, but you haven't. You see, you're going to have to do something more than just believe it. So notice what he said. Jesus said this. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall ascend into this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. There it is, believe. You got to believe. Everybody say believe. Got to believe. But I only see that addressed in this one verse one time. I see something else in this talk that Jesus gave. I see something else, not one time, but I see it three times. Three times. One, two, three. Look in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, everybody say one time. You got to say it one time. Be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. There's believe. We're going to give believe once. That those things which he saith, everybody say two times, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he believeth, or have so whatsoever he saith. Say it three times. Somebody say three. So why is it? Why is it that in the Christian church we will talk about our faith as we should? We'll talk about believing as we should. But when we come to confessing something or speaking the word, we'll see Christians fall along the wayside. It's just unreal. Unbelievable how you can see it with your own eyes right there, what Jesus said. And he tells us you've got to connect saying with what you believe. It's not just believe only. You've got to connect saying with it. And what happens is many people will get into that connection or try to do that and make that connection of faith and saying, and they'll say the wrong thing. They'll say something like, well, I believe that God can. Oh, yeah, well, you know, most everybody, if they believe in God at all, they believe he can. They don't ever come around to believing God will. And certainly if you asked them when, they certainly wouldn't know when God would if he did. But they believe it can, to hear them tell it. You've got to move past that. You've got to move beyond that. And because if you don't have this faith and saying, nothing is going to happen to you. The saying has to go with the faith. Look with me in Matthew chapter 17. Look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. In Matthew 17, verse 20, he's talking about this, faithless generation that Jesus was talking to while he was casting out devils out of someone. And verse 20, Scripture tells us, when they asked Jesus why they couldn't do it, he says, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. Now, some people have read that and said, I know, it's talking about your unbelief. It is. And it said, if you have faith, it's talking about faith. It does. But also, it's getting rid of the unbelief, having the faith, and one other thing. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you shall say. So if you've got faith like a mustard seed and you got rid of your unbelief and you don't say, the mountain still hadn't moved. How many sees that? Say amen. You got to hook the saying to the believing. Got to be there. Got to be there or nothing happens until you say it. It has to be there. I remember this particular verse so strong in my life, Mark 11, verse 23. And this would have been in 1978, 1980, It would have been right around April of that year of 1980. When I was born again in 1975, I began to study the scripture from then until 1980. Of course, I still study today, but it was my primary thing. I put on scripture 2-3 hours a day, every day, Monday through Friday, and more on Saturday, for several years, that five-year period that I had right after getting saved, because I knew the Lord wanted me in the ministry, but he didn't want me in the ministry if I can say stupid and foolish things. And so I might even still have said a couple of them along the way. Give me a little bit of grace. But still, I knew he didn't want me in the ministry saying stupid and crazy things, so I studied the scriptures consistently. And I've always been a self-starter. I always could, you know, just do things, whatever I needed to do, I could do it. And so I was studying the scripture on my own during that time. And when I got my eyes healed in February 4th of 1980, I told the Lord that I need to know how to get a prayer through. If I can't get a prayer through, what I need to preach to anybody about. So I need to know how to get a prayer through. And so when I got my healing, I said, well, that's it. I got to start preaching now. And I did. And I began to let people know I was available to preach. Well, I got a revival. And it was going to be a short revival that I had. And it was like 3 days. And so I got a little revival meeting to have. And it turned out it went 10 days. But anyway, it started out at 3. And went there, and I did something different then than I'd ever done since I'd been born again. Now, for that revival, I prayed and I fasted and sought God. And many days and many weeks of fasting went into that revival before I went to that revival, before it ever showed up. And so I did a lot of things to prepare for that revival, to make it happen in the realm of the Spirit, the realm of prayer, in the realm of fasting and seeking God and getting the mind of the Lord in the Word and all those kind of things. I did a lot of things in prep for that revival. I did one thing different. I was praying in a Sunday school class at my home church at that time. And while I was praying in the Sunday school class, this verse of scripture, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, came into my heart. And while I'm praying, I begin to see that. And rather, I stopped my praying and asking God to do something. I stopped from asking to saying what was going to happen. I didn't ask for something to happen. I said what's going to happen. Later, I found out the scripture says, concerning the work of my hands, the Lord God said, command you me. I didn't know it at the time, but I did know verse 23. And he said in this verse that if I believe in my heart and I say it with my mouth, I'd have whatever I said. So I said, if that's the case, I say, we're going to have wonderful results in this revival. People will be saved in this revival. People will be healed, filled with the Spirit in this revival. And this revival, things will happen in this revival. It will project me out to other places from this revival. I begin to say it and speak it, and then through a prayer time of a couple hours in the Sunday school class, on my knees, on my face, I can see myself now, laying in the floor, saying that verse right there. And what happened was this, the addition. Now, didn't say I didn't pray. I did. I didn't say I didn't study the Word. I did. Didn't say I didn't fast. I did. I did those other things. I did those things. The difference was I began to say something about it. And when I began to say it, I saw things take place and things happen. And that's the only difference I know. God still loved everybody, loved me, loved them. He loved everybody, wanted people saved, wanted people healed and blessed. He wanted all of that. But it takes somebody on earth to speak with authority in the earth, to speak the things of God into the earth. You are that person by the blood of Jesus and by the word of Almighty God and in his holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're that person. And as you are as an ambassador of Christ and you speak into this earth, things happen. Everybody say, when I speak, things happen. Say it again. Say, when I speak, things happen. Amen. And if you struggle saying that, keep on saying it. Keep on speaking it until our mind gets renewed and the part of us that cringes up of being prayed to make a bold statement such as that, until that dissipates and gone, finally gone, and you can speak with authority the words of Almighty God like Jesus did. Now then, notice what he said. Look with me, what was it, Matthew 17, verse 20. He said, as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove here to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Get rid of the unbelief. Get the faith in and speak it, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Get rid of the unbelief. Get the faith in and speak it, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So what problem could you possibly have this morning? What problem could we possibly have? We've got the answer. We can apply the answer to that thing and see it change. Somebody say, change in the name of Jesus. And say it. Say it. Look down at it. Whatever you're looking at. I mean, we do things differently now. Look at that. You got a something on this, a little phone right here. And notice, even this phone, it will do a lot of things, but it won't do anything until you talk to it. Hey, Siri, are you there? I'm here, it says. I got it turned down because we're in the church. But if I hadn't had it turned down, she'd speak back to me and say, I'm here. It wouldn't do nothing until I talked to it, though. Is that right? Now, how many of you got more faith in your phone than you do to God? Surely not. Surely you don't believe more in a phone than you do God. You talk to your phone. Even it listens to you and does something. Right? But be careful when there's new AI and everything's coming out and everything's going on. You be careful what it starts to say back to you. I mean, it'll lead you and guide you in a path you don't want to go. So don't do everything it tells you. How many's ever went on GPS with a phone and ended up taking about 10, 20 miles too long to get there? And you say, that stupid GPS. I could have been there if I hadn't listened to that. Sheila and I did that one time on vacation several years ago. We went to Tennessee, and we got on GPS, and it told us to take a shortcut. I said, it looks like a mountain to me. Sheila said, give it a try. It looks like it's a shortcut. Siri knows best. We got on that thing. We went up to the top of that mountain. We got way up. I mean, everything was like this. It was a one-lane road when we got up there. And the one-lane road, Sheila was over hugging me close as she could because on her side, she looked down, all she see was a mountain going straight down. It was a terrible thing. We got to the top of the mountain. We saw this. We said, we'll have to stop and get some help somewhere. If we can find a place to turn around, stop this old store way at the top of the mountain. It's getting dark and this kind of stuff. And we pulled inside this door, and this old guy with coveralls came out. He's going to help y'all. No, we don't need any help. We turned back around and left. I mean, it was a terrible place to be in. That's what happens when you don't follow the word of God and you follow the word of the world. The world can mess you up. All right, okay. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so what it says right here, nothing can be impossible to you. What desires you have? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Now listen, you can only believe for it if it's something God wants you to have and has promised you according to his word and his will. We know that, okay? And so within the confines and within the safety of the word of God, what is it that God's promised that you want? Get rid of your unbelief saying, I can't get it, and I can't have it. Get rid of that and start developing faith that I can have it and do have it and it's mine now. Amen. And then start saying it. Saying it before you see it. Jesus said to the fig tree, you're cursed. Ain't nobody eating from you again. Fig tree standing there just as alive as ever after that, according to the eye. So really, that's what the fig tree was saying to him. Jesus didn't have to walk away. Oh, Lord, what have I done now? Bite his fingernails? No. No, he knows it's dead. It's dead. Disciples don't know it. Next day they come back. They're astonished. They're amazed. That thing died. Well, what do you expect? Jesus spoke the word to it. And you speak the word in your circumstance, your situation, it'll die too. Or life will come. All right, let's move on. I got to move quickly. Notice. Look what the scripture says in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, based on this principle, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Based on this principle, that is what we do. Now, Mark 11:24 in God's Word translation says this. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received. Already received. In the Greek, in the interlinear, that particular word for the word receive is a past tense word. It doesn't show it here in the King James, but I read you God's Word, it does. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have already received them. That's where he did be Kenyon many years ago and went to be with the Lord in 1947. That's many years ago, that's where he came up with that phrase, it's mine, I have it now. I have it now. It's mine, I have it now. I have wholeness in my body now. I have the absence of sickness and disease now. I have it now. I have health and strength and vitality. I have it now. I am blessed. God supplies all of my needs. They are supplied now. I have it now in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 4 that we call things that be not as though they were. We speak that into our life now. It's mine. I have it now. I have it now. It's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. I have it now. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, you've got to have that now connection to it. As long as your faith is not now, and it's, well, you know, I thank God, do it for me one day, Leon. You don't have faith, you have hope. Hope is a building block of faith. It's a starting place, but it's not faith. You have the hope of it. You have the hope of the blessing, but you don't have it. You have to get the point is, I have it, and I have it now. And you'll just have to say things like that to yourself and speak that things. You'll say, devil, well, you're just going to give up and quit? Because I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. Devil, I'm not letting go of this thing. Whatever it is, you got some issue going in your body, tell your body. Buddy, you're just going to have to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm not going to accept nothing else. It's over. It's done. I have it now. I have it now. You're just going to have to give up, devil, and you go on your merry way. Whatever way you got to go on, it won't be merry. But anyway, just get out of here anyway. But I have it now. I have it now. Okay. Listen to this scripture. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be very careful what you let go into your heart. Be very careful of what you listen to. Now, I'm not talking about any particular denomination or preacher or this or that and other. I'm not. In my heart, in my mind, I got a lot of preacher friends that they don't agree with everything I have, which I'm not saying I got the market on truth and they don't have. I'm not saying that. But there are some things that they do and they talk about that I just let go one ear and out the other, and I'm not going to believe it. I'm not saying that because they're not really where I feel like the word needs to be. Now, are they good people? Do they love God? Yeah, I think they do. I think most of them do. I don't have anything to say against them. And thank God for the good that they do. And I'll be blessed by them and I help them minister to them, different ones that we minister to. I mean, several, maybe a couple of years ago, we had a minister I knew about, and he had an issue, went through a crisis in his church, and he wasn't a church like ours, but he needed some help, and he's going to be out of work, and we gave him some money to help him during that time. I mean, you know, you don't just fight everybody just because they don't see everything exactly like what you see it. But at the same time, you do guard your heart. You don't let everything in it. That's why I tell people about seminary. I went to seminary, and I learned a lot. I believed a little. I learned a lot about what they taught, but I didn't believe everything they taught. And I loved them, so some good people. I wouldn't say anything bad at all. Good folks. But you had to protect your heart. Notice it put away from you a forward mouth. Put that mouth away, a forward mouth. It's a perverse mouth. It's a crooked mouth. Put it away from you. And put in your lips. Put that far from you too. You got words in your mouth and your lips. Put it away from you. The Bible says in Proverbs 6 and 2 that you are snared with the words of your mouth. You're snared with them. Proverbs 12, 13 says the wicked himself is snared by his lips have got him. And your lips sometimes stop things from happening in your life that could be happening, but you're speaking them out of your life. How many times you ever say to somebody, you know, things going good for you? Well, no, things don't ever go good for us. We always have a hard time around here. Nobody in our family has ever done anything. I mean, you know, up to my time, I can remember one person in my immediate family that graduated high school. And one sister did, my other sister and brother didn't, and my mom and dad hadn't graduated in high school, and my parents, my grandparents, none of them had. And so when I come along, you know, I was expected not to graduate from high school. Just go get your job, make a lot of money. You can do that too. But I was going to do that. But, you know, but they would tell you, nobody around our house ever graduated from high school. And nobody certainly ever went to college. Nobody, not a soul I know of in my immediate family tree had ever went to college. So when I graduated high school, I didn't have a clue about college, didn't have a thought about it, didn't desire it, didn't want it, didn't expect it, didn't even dream I could go. It was not even in my psyche. It was not even there. And so there's some things, you know, that happen around you and that you're taught, and you begin to say those things. You begin to speak those things in your life. How you doing? Well, you know yourself, the working man don't never get ahead. Right? How you working? You working? You're hardly working. I'm hardly working. You better be working, you know, smart at first and then work hard when you need to. But still, you don't need to be hardly working. Don't tell your boss that. Your boss come by and says, how you boys working out there today on the line? We hardly working, boss. Yeah, you're going to be working a lot less than that, too. You're fired out the door. No, it's some of the stupid things that we say. Why, that scared me to death. Really? You wanting to die? Is that what you really want to be scared to death? I mean, you know, we just say a lot of things with our tongue. Well, I guess I just can't ever get ahead. You know, it'd just be a song. The harder I try, the behinder I get. I love that little phrase and tune, but it's terrible words. You mean the harder you try, the behinder you get? We might as well all shoot ourselves and die, hadn't we? And give up, if that's the case. I mean, so there's a lot of things like that in life. It's just, you know, instilled inside of us. And we speak in them and think in them and saying them out. You know what's happening? Just like James said, our life is following our tongue. Listen, if somebody or if there's any bad going to be spoken about it about you, don't let it be you. You ever heard people talk about some what they did and they say this cuss word? As they say, well, I'll be damned. Don't damn yourself. If somebody else damns you, between them and their damn or whoever they are, but don't damn yourself. Don't do it yourself. My goodness. All the stuff that we just let come out of our mouth, beginning at level, look at Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips shall he be filled. What's coming out your lips increased is going to fill you. Now notice, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What is in the power of your tongue? Tell me two things. What is the first one? What's the second one? So for the life you've got, you can have two things spoken into this life. Death or life. What are you going to speak into yourself? Death or life? What are you going to speak? This thing's going to kill me. What are you going to speak into your life? Death or life? If I did that, I know I'd be knocked out tomorrow. You know, what are you going to speak in your life? Death or life? If you've got a choice what to put into your life, choose life. God spoke to Moses when he told Joshua, choose life. There's gods on both sides of this Jordan that you guys are going to, and there's death and life out there, but choose life. And here he says that life is in the power of the tongue. Here, we've got something right here that will bring death or life, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of thereof. Listen, in today's English version, it says this. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Yeah, you're going to have to live with the consequences of everything that you say. You have to live with that. And it says, verse 21, what you say can preserve your life or it can destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. What you are saying is producing your life, good or bad, death or life. It's your choice. It's mine. It's there. It's very clear. The Moffat translation said it like this, a man must answer for his utterances and take the consequences of his words. We say it like this, you know, in America, well, a man's word is his bond, right? If a man gives you a word, he'll do something, he'll do it. If I say I'll do this job for you and we put in a swimming pool liner in our house, my goodness, those things went up. But the guy says he'll put it in for $5,200. If he says he'll put it in for $5,200 and that's what he said, and we old days shake hands on it, and he says he'll do it for that. If it comes in at $5,500, he's still obligated to do it for $5,200. Now, if he tells me about it and he's honest about it, and we see something happen that didn't supposed to happen, I'm going to give him the rest of it. But still, he's obligated because a man's word is his bond. What he says, he's got to live by it. Got to live by his consequences. You go before the judge. You testify in court. You raise your right hand. And you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, all the truth. You do that. And you speak something. And you lie. And you perjure yourself. Now you can go to jail, not for what you were testifying about, but you can go to jail because you lied and perjured yourself. You lied. And so what you say in life, you're going to have to endure the consequences. Why is it when you get to the Word of God, you say, well, it don't matter what I say. It doesn't matter at all. Well, it does matter what you say. And your life is going to follow the words. There's more to it than just this. But your life is going to follow the words that come out of your mouth. Last scripture, 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life. How many loves life? Amen. I mean, you got to watch what you say around kids. I was talking to Naomi the other day, and I don't know what it was. I was teaching the value of money, and I gave her like, we were in a store and ice cream. I gave her like $3. I said, go up there and buy an ice cream. I said, you got to give them that $3. They don't give ice cream if you don't give them $3. You don't get the ice cream without the $3, right? So anyway, after that, I was talking to her about that, and I gave her $3 to buy the ice cream with, and gave her some money some other time, whatever it was. And I said, Naomi, I said, do you love money? She said, yes, Pa, I love money. So I don't know what we're teaching nowadays. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. But the love of it is. But you can love life. I love this life. But I don't love it more than obedience to God. And I don't love it more than doing what God's called me to do and fulfilling my mission in life. I don't love it that much. But I do love it. How many loves life? Say amen. Amen. All right. For he that will love life and see good days. How many wants to see some good days? I want all good days, don't you? And see good days. What should he do? What should he do? Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Quit speaking that evil into your life and into your good days. So how is it then we come to God and we say, God, things are terrible. It's rotten around here on planet Earth. I mean, wow, I'm hurting bad. Won't you help me? Won't you do anything about it? And you've been speaking that trash and that evil and those bad things in your life the whole time, and God created the plan that's how it's worked, and you still are doing it. You're not going to see God come through with a miracle to get you out of that thing when you're the one that put you in there, and you also have the same power to get you out. The same power that took you down will take you up. It works both ways. What does it say? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Somebody say amen. Stand with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer in Jesus' name. You got the answer. What you do with it is between you and God. Amen. 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 We got it. Somebody say, I got it. Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. We got it. Thank God we got it. Thank God we got it. Oh, what have you got? You got it. You got it. Lift your hands toward heaven. Say, Father God, I give you praise that I got it. I have you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I have you, Father God, as my lead and my guide. I have you, Holy Spirit, as my power in this earth. I have everything you have said I have. Thank you, Father God. I got it. I have health. I have life. I have prosperity. I have blessing. I have peace of mind. I have joy. I have happiness. I got it. I got it. I got it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's prayer there. That's it. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead, that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.